Welcome to the Ether. Today is Wednesday, May 11th, 2022. Today on the Ether, Jacob Gedakian hosts Bad People Did Bad Things to Terra. We move forward. Let's take a listen.
Hi, everybody. I'm just kind of getting this started. If anybody would like to join as a speaker, that's great. And please do retweet this. The idea here today is to kind of kick off a conversation about what I saw over the past 3 days. What can I say? You know, we lost a ton of money or notional value recently. And honestly, we don't need to worry about it. And I think that there are a lot of people out there who may have like concentrated their assets in Terra. Also, I am very aware that this was done to that chain, but I don't want to only place blame externally exactly, okay? Because some of this is the fault of Terra and the Terra community for kind of building something that had some natural instability issues. But just one moment, please, while I put out a tweet inviting people. I would love it if the people here could like retweet that and stuff. I didn't really plan this out, but I do think that this is a important conversation to have. Let's start with, I prototyped this attack in 2020. Jacob, what the hell are you talking about? Did you build an attack on Terra? No. In 2020, I tried to figure out what could harm these different chains. And by the way, if anybody wants to come up as a speaker, I very, very much like that because I wouldn't like it to be just myself. Probably should have like invited CryptoCito or something. Anyhow. Please do retweet, encourage people to join. See if we can get another. Coney Daddy, I'm inviting you up as a speaker. We have recruited Coney as our co-host and humorist. Thank God for Coney. All right. I imagine his phone is doing that funny thing that phones do when you first enter a Twitter space. And I'm going to plug my phone in, die soon otherwise, and we can get rolling. Oh, and Michael up to speak as well. Oh, and also, I just, for the past 2 days, been going around and telling members of the Terra community, if they are upset and want to talk, they can contact me anytime. That's still the case. A little traumatic to lose the kinds of piles of money that I know that people have. And I don't want to see bad stuff happen. So, Coney, how are you? Are you there, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm doing pretty good. I haven't really slept a whole lot. I've just been, you know, monitoring the situation.
Yeah.
Some interesting things have happened. Some interesting things.
Oh, yeah. And, like, unfortunately, you know, one of the reasons I made this Twitter space, I know for sure that this was a carefully constructed attack. Two levels, too. Financially and the technical infrastructure. So one of the things that, you know, I'd like to do here today is advocate for governance-based slashing, the concepts explored in Osmosis Prop 191. And like, dear Lord, if your chain or community is being validated by Coinbase Cloud, Binance staking, or really any of the joke validators that couldn't keep their nodes up on Terra during this attack, just get them out of your community, chase them out. Okay. Why is that so important to chase them out? Well, guys, I don't know if any of the Terra, I don't know if any of those validators participated in the attack, but their instability was used to enhance its power. Not only was their instability used to enhance its power, Gainsies, I'm inviting you up because I'm not really accustomed to hosting these things. I'm usually more of like a, I usually just speak on the tech, which is what I'm going to do now. Basically, what I saw happen here is that the attack, this was built, and the attacker knew our systems really well. I mentioned right at the beginning, but I know that more people have joined, that I prototyped this attack in 2020. I don't mean that I attacked Terra. I don't think that the prototype set of ideas that I came up with, you know, was even communicated to the attackers. I have no idea, of course. But like, basically, it's like this. For probably any of these chains, especially when they're listed on centralized exchanges, being traded externally, the reality is that you can actually... So you begin with an economic attack. One of the parameters that we used when we were kind of testing out the gravity decks early on. So like rule one, somebody should not be able to use this to gain an unfair financial advantage over others. Okay, so it was sort of the first thing that we looked at. And then, you know, rule two, no one should be able to compromise the infrastructure in a way that stopped people from exchanging assets, right? And what we actually found, and here's the good news. The good news is that our finding was that like the chain held up really, really well to economic attacks. Financier, I'm going to try and get you on here, to economic attacks and to infrastructure attacks. Okay. But the trouble was that to my knowledge, this has not changed. Like that, if you attack the infrastructure and the economy at the same time, that those two multiply each other. And I've got to say that certainly what happened really underscores some of Jay Kwan's ideas about, you know, hub minimalism and stuff like that, because the smaller the feature scope, the less likely something like this is to even be possible. But like, oh, and Billy, if you could go and share this in like the Osmosis Twitter group, or Osmosis Telegram group, and all the Telegram groups, Juno, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That'd be awesome. I just really want the community to know that, like, this was not only a hedge fund or whatever taking financial advantage of Terra, and they did. I don't know who. Some people are saying Citadel. I have not been able to put together concrete evidence to back any of that. And I don't want to make assumptions. That makes me uncomfortable. The gist of what happened here is that concretely I can say that this attacker used knowledge of the chain systems to, for the past 3 days, from about 1 a.m. Hanoi time. I want to let you guys know, I'm pretty sure that Hanoi is the same time zone as Singapore, and that the Terra technology team is Singapore and Korea based. What I'm trying to say is the infrastructure attacks, which I absolutely believe are real, those infrastructure attacks occurred while, you know, the attacker would believe that Asians are sleeping, just based on time zone. You know, so I guess I'm calling myself Asian in this sense. What I mean is, you know, people in Asian time zones. Anyhow, that is super, super clear. If we even were to just look at the history of missed block signatures, missed pre-commits, stuff like that, and transaction volume, we would see that both of those were spiking while the attacker assumed that Asia was asleep. That's been happening for somewhere between 3 and 4 days. If I was mounting such an attack, I probably would practice. This looks practiced because they were so successful. I saw blocks on their chain containing 680 blocks, or sorry, 680 transactions. And guys, that doesn't happen. Like, I mean, in the normal course of events of a Cosmos enabled Tendermint Cosmos blockchain, you do not see blocks with 680 transactions. And then when I was going out, I was flagging this. There were folks saying, well, no, that's the chain failing. I also want to say that this is true. It was the chain failing, but here's where we get into this part's really shitty and mean. I believe that there was a coordinated effort to liquidate retail people on Terra. Terra had different mechanisms, which I do not fully understand because I never really was much of a huge Terra user. But it had a whole bunch of different mechanisms whereby people could earn yield. I know a bunch of people who have lost most of the money that they had, and they were wealthy. I want to say that if you were in a... I don't know which positions on Terra it was that you could get liquidated out of, but if you were in one of those positions and you found yourself unable to transact, I want you to know that that was done to you. Okay. So if you ended up getting liquidated on X, Y, or Z position because you could not put a transaction through to the chain, well, if we look at the spikes in transaction count on Terra, I'm comfortable saying, you know, that my confidence on this is between 99 and 100%. Released a video yesterday saying that, like, I saw this as a reaping of retail. I was, you know, kind of glibly saying, like, oh, look, retail has bloomed. Let us reap it. But really, though, that's how I saw this. I also want to talk about how communities and users can prevent further reapings of retail. One of them is, you know, there's obviously like some instability in the design of UST, and that was exploited here. But let's suppose that I'm right and that the economic attack could not have been on everybody here. If you don't mind sharing the space, I really just want to get this information out. I think that what I'm saying here about the infrastructure attack is going to be ignored or swept under the rug. And it's actually what made the economic attack devastating. And pretty damn sure it is what caused the liquidations to be so bad for individuals. And I just hate that. It really, like, bugs me. So a denial of service attack, right? That's when you flood a technical system so that no one else can use it. Well, what was going on Terra wasn't like a constant denial of service attack. Oh, and if you are here and from the Terra community, I do want to say to you, I think it's kind of dead. If I was speaking directly to Do Kwon, I'd tell him that I'm really grateful for all the support that, you know, he and his team has provided to Notional, especially on performance work, because we run relayers and relayers routinely encounter different types of performance issues. And basically my advice would be like, well, win some, lose some. Looks like this may have been a total loss. And then there's just this question of like, how do you rebuild something that is much more resilient? I really like Go. I really like everybody I know on the Terra team and in the Terra community. And I'm not upset with them. There are two groups I'm upset with. One of them, let's start with the one that I'm like less upset with, but definitely upset with. Terra. Yeah, right?
Let's go.
It's the Terra validators, guys. Like, if you don't have high capacity setups, and then the network is attacked, during that attack, the fact that you don't have a high capacity setup is going to multiply the effectiveness of that attack. And please, I'd like for everybody to think about attack surface in two ways here. So we're building economic systems, right? And everybody wants to like wax philosophical about when we're building, you know, the next monies or we're building whatever. And so just consider that there's interplay between the attack surfaces. I really don't think that without what I'm reading as, you know, pretty much active assistance, or if it's not assistance, then it's passive, Like, if your validator is not good, and then shit gets crazy, let's say, it will multiply the effectiveness of any economic attack. Period. Okay? This counts for Osmosis. This counts for the Cosmos Hub. This counts all over Cosmos. And one of the concrete steps that you individually can do to prevent future attacks like this is speak to everyone in every blockchain community that you participate in and say, yo, we've got to get the governance-based slashing in place. We are removing Binance. We are removing Coinbase Cloud. And we are actively hunting white-labeled nodes. Hi, I'm Jacob. You know I'm Jacob. Hi, I'm Jacob. You know my validator is Notional. If you didn't, now you know. I put my name and face on my work. And so, like, if my shit explodes, I get hurt. Michael, come on up.
Hey, Jacob. You know, I, first of all, thank you for this. I want to, like, if it's okay, I want to, like, try to add a little bit of like, theorizing. And so I just want to ask, you a question. And that question is, what is the difference, like, practically speaking, between governance slashing and a proof of authority chain?
Okay. So that's a really good question. What governance slashing enables is for the community to make the validator set not only financial. Right now, participation in validator sets in Cosmos is determined only by people's wallets. So basically, the driver behind Coinbase Cloud's business is, you know, like their customers primarily, it's kind of like, hi, I'm a whale on XYZ chain. And they have enough capital to fund a validator. They don't want to, like, deal with running it. And they're doing it really to avoid paying a validator commission to anyone else. I guess, you know, what I'm saying is that that type of white labeling, I'd like to see that severely slashed. Also, this doesn't prevent people from being anonymous and validating. Like, I'm down with that. You know, I was kind of saying that, like, I put my name and face on my validation services. It's totally true. It gives me a different risk profile. I know this. But, like, I also know a few very active validators who don't put their name and face on things. And you know what? They do a good job. So that's great. But the trouble is there are a lot who don't do a good job. And Michael, the difference between governance-based slashing and proof of authority is that governance is still stake-weighted. So it's very different, actually, from proof of authority, because what you're actually doing is equipping the community with the tools needed to actively curate the validator set. And one of the things that I can see, if you go to the website, guys, ping.pub, and then on the left side, there are a whole bunch of different chains, right? You know, go to Terra, okay? Look at the validators who are down. And then purge them from every network that you participate in. They enhanced the effectiveness of the attack on Terra. With what degree of certainty can I say that? 100%. And, you know, I just, here, like, let me try and do the validator accountability exercise. We thought the secret network upgrade was an hour from now. We've missed 500 blocks. We apologize to the secret dudes because we're actually a really, really big upgrade. Here's the whole point, right? Like, that's our fault. It's like, this is occurring right now. Like, if you go to Ping Pub, look at secret, you'll see either Notional just stopped missing blocks or is currently missing blocks. Okay. Like, that's what you want to see. There is no third party responsible for this. Okay. Like ultimately it's my fault even. So
yeah, I've been saying for a long time that, like, you know, what we need is one of the things we could really, really use is really promoting to retail holders how well their validators are performing, because it's extremely difficult from my perspective as a validator, right? As a delegator, you know, I don't know, you know, how much better are my Notional delegations performing than my, like, joke delegation to, like, Pupmos validator is performing. And no offense to Pupmos, if you know, who may be an amazing validator, I don't really know. And, like, I guess I could go to ping.pub and, like, try to dig through it, but it doesn't really tell me. But can I maybe this is too specific, but I'm noticing on ping.pub that Chainlayer is down, which really surprises me, because I thought that Chainlayer was connected to the Terra team. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. What I do know, Michael, is that over the past year or so, as an Osmosis validator, and guys, sometimes it's hard to believe it's only been not even a year. It hasn't even been a year yet. Like, one of the things that I can say very, very concretely and without any doubt is that if the network comes under stress, as frankly Osmosis does every single day at APOC time, which I've started to actually think is kind of a blessing in disguise. If the network comes under stress, then if you don't have a very fast hard drive, very fast, faster than any cloud can sell you, then you're going to miss tons of blocks. And Michael, like, I'm aware that there are a number of validators and infrastructure providers who have chased scale in the cloud. And I'm also aware that ultimately, like, basically to be a little crass, when shit goes sideways, that will not work.
Right. And so what you're saying is that by having this, you know, almost synthetic stress moment every day, you're flagging which validators, you know, will, you're like stress testing the validators, and you know which ones will hold up in a real crisis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, honestly, the APOC block really looks like a blessing in disguise.
Okay, so let me just, there's another hand up.
Yeah, please take that question. And guys, I'm going to mute myself for a couple of minutes because you know how I mentioned about Secret Network? We did not miss the upgrade. We are having a challenge with SGX. And, you know, as much as I want to talk with the community about this stuff, I think that I should mute myself for a second and help the team out with the SGX thing. So I'll be here. I'd love it if others can kind of run it. And not NFT, I'll take your hand up before I go.
Hey, thanks, Jacob. You know, you're incredibly smart and talented, and we love, you know, all the building you do on Cosmos. But I'll be honest, sometimes you speak over my head. I'm just a Jerry. If you could you tell us, do you feel like Cosmos is exposed to the same dangers that Terra is seeing now? Or is Cosmos, as being a minimalist security hub different than what Terra is, what's happening to Terra? Are we exposed to the same dangers, or is Cosmos with Atom different?
Okay, so Bunny, it is a the answer to your question is a little bit complicated, but so the answer on one level is yes, all of the chains using the Tendermint Cosmos stack are exposed to the reality that if there's an economic attack, especially one involving centralized exchanges, the attack surface can be enhanced and multiplied using you can multiply the attack surface by flooding the chain. I mean, I tried this with early gravity decks when I was still working with Tendermint. So like, I know for sure that works. But the other thing I want to say to you, Terra was way more complicated than like the Cosmos Hub or the average chain in Cosmos. Order of magnitude more, okay? It had Cosmwasm that does add attack surface area. How much attack at surface area? Tons. Okay. And so there's that piece of it. I think Jay, you know, ultimately is quite vindicated on Cosmwasm on the hub. But this attack wasn't caused by Cosmwasm. And you can have the same problems in your validator set without Cosmwasm. Osmosis had this problem without Cosmwasm. How about this? Here's the short answer to your question. The shortest possible answer I can come up with is that the effectiveness of an economic attack can be multiplied by infrastructure issues. And the more complex a chain is, the easier it is to have infrastructure issues. So, you know, if you're writing the chain in Go and you're using like the Go module pattern to build a Cosmos chain, the more complicated or less efficient your modules are, the more open you are to attack surface area. If you're using Cosmwasm, I'd strongly encourage you to be using the very, 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 very latest version. So right now that's release 27-RC0. And the reason you want to be using the very, 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 very latest version, they are still making efficiency improvements. And I have been saying for months that performance issues in Cosmos are actually security issues. And guys, I definitely did not want to be wrong about it to this degree. How can I put this? I'm really freaking lucky, okay? Like, Notional lost tons of money over the past couple of days. Tons! And you know what? Like, we're fine. I'm not going to need to worry. And that's an incredibly, incredibly, incredibly privileged position to be in. But like, there are a lot of people who are not in that position. And so, you know, oh, and by the way, when the code gets more complex, right? So I was talking about the relationship between complexity and infrastructure attack surface area. As the code gets more complicated, that attack surface area just grows and grows and grows. And like, hey, Jack, hop on, man.
Well, I want to jump in and
Michael,
answer.
And Michael, one up. What do you want to say?
I just want to say, you know, to not NFT's question, I think he was asking something a little simpler, which, you know, There is a bomb in Terra's design that is not, that does not exist in Adam's design. So, you know, there are things, you know, Jacob is giving you a very like quality sort of rundown of the, of where we have vulnerabilities in common with Adam and with Terra, UST and Luna. But what Luna has is this system where you can theoretically burn one UST for a dollar worth of Luna at any time, and it will mint that Luna. And what that does is it creates a mechanism for a run on the bank to blow up the chain. Because you can then, oh my God, it's at 80 cents, even if it's 80 cents, oh, I can mint Luna and then I can sell it. And even if I lose 5% in that process, right, I'm still making 15 cents. I'm still making 15%. Now it's at 50 cents, right? And so, you know, there's, if the burn mechanism was fully functioning, which as far as I can tell, it kind of isn't, but I actually am not an expert on that, then you'd be able to make a significant amount of money buying UST, burning it, minting Luna, selling that Luna, right? If the Oracle was on was actually working and the burn system was actually working, there would be this arbitrage loop here. And so what, because there are people who are on top of this arbitrage loop in a professional way, you can sort of, as a retail person, you can know, okay, well, some part of the system is broken down. But
the Michael, the burn mechanism was rate limited, i.e. the amount of UST and Luna you could move through it in any given time period was limited. So that's why the market mechanisms failed.
Yeah. So, I mean, I assume they did that to prevent the thing from going supercritical, which... if you're a, you know, which is a nuclear engineering term for what happens if a reactor, what happens, which you don't want to have happen to your reactor. Things go very, very wrong in, you know, in less than a millisecond. What I will say is that we did not, as the Atom community, and, you know, Jack is one of the true OGs. Like, I was around watching Jack be an OG in 2016, or not 2016, but, like, you know, a long time ago. We didn't do this, right? We did not build this kind of, like, you know, it's stable until it explodes system into Atom. And so what you're seeing happen in the price of Luna will not happen to the price of Atom. Now, we could go to zero, right? Atom could go to zero, but it will not go to zero because we built a bomb into it that goes off, because we did not build a bomb into Atom. Yeah, so that's my answer to your question.
Yeah, and you know, one other thing that I want to say here too, like, this whole narrative that I'm hearing right now in the community around, well, first off, like, I'm sorry, this is the shittiest morning I think we've all woken up to in a really long time, and like, I know everyone's hurting. That sucks. I
am woke too. Up. That implied that you slept.
I did. Yeah, I was watching the market start slipping last night. And I was like, this looks terrible. And I was like, I hope it's better when I wake up. And I slept great. And then I woke up and it was shitty. Anyway, I hear a lot of people talking about how, like, this is why we don't want Cosmos on the hub. Terra just saw, like, the concerted attention of the entire global financial system. The chain stayed up. You know, Jacob will tell you a lot about red blippies and other things, but the real fact is those validators kept that chain up. The fault tolerance worked as designed. The system worked. And it processed record throughput. And most of those transactions were Cosmwasm. That is fucking crazy. That is an incredible stress test for Cosmwasm and for Tendermint and for the entire ecosystem. And the fact that there was no service interruption on that chain during this is absolutely incredible. I'm just incredibly impressed with the professionalism and level of service that the validators in this ecosystem are able to put up. It's absolutely incredible. You know, people thought that we couldn't run like major financial applications with a bunch of quote unquote hobbyist validators. But, you know, that's what we've been doing for years. And in the face of some of the most adversarial market conditions possible, we're still doing it. And, you know, these chains are still going. So anyway, Cosmonauts, I got a long day of fucking bailing, but
I want to thank you.
Let's get this done, guys.
Jack, because that was a piece of the nuance that I did not address here. I do think that to some degree that this is a contra to CW on the hub, but you're right, and that's something that I should have been presenting.
And Jacob, you know, sorry, I'm just a little extra spicy this morning.
Dude, you don't have to be sorry for a thing.
Yeah,
be spicy.
Yeah, it's like I'm really sick of people talking about shit like this, because what's really important is that we figure out how to make Adam the most important part of the cosmos, and all of this like bullshit and noise around, you know, these like various like squabbles that people get in, it sucks. You know, look, I've definitely played a part in it, but the clear fact is the only reason I'm playing a part in it is to try to make things happen. The reason why we want to put Cosm Wasm on the hub is so that we can increase the utility of the hub and bring value to Atom holders by like actually shipping product. And, you know, what I see the community doing right now is going to this place where they're saying, we need safety, and anything that we don't really deeply understand is not safe. And like, you know, what we just saw on Terra was a massive coordinated financial attack by one of the world's largest hedge funds. And well, looks like the software worked great. It did exactly what it should have done. So if that's not a security audit for you Atom holders, I don't know what is.
I have a question for you, Jack. There's been a lot of back and forth about the Citadel theory, and what I've said is I don't have any concrete evidence for it, but I want to say to the audience, Jack and I might have different positions on CW on the hub like right now, but his opinion is one that I very deeply respect. And so, Jack, I want to ask you, you buy the Citadel theory?
I mean, what I see, and I've been watching the charts and the order books pretty extensively over the last couple of days, you know, reaching out to my network and talking to people, what I see is very clearly a large coordinated attack by an incredibly sophisticated financial institution. You know, there's a lot of kind of smoke pointing in the Citadel direction. I don't know, but, you know, as somebody who was rooting for Luna this entire time, their team did a good job. You know, they were able to, over a period of multiple days, bring to bear billions and billions of dollars of capital to try to defend that peg. And, you know, you see them over and over again, many small battles. Like, this is a coordinated attack by someone with way more resources than the combined might of Jump. Jump might have jumped out early of Citadel, if Citadel's behind it, but of like all of the major crypto hedge funds that were a part of that, Galaxy Digital, Delphi Digital, all these other funds, you know, the other like Terra whales, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of people who came together to try to like bail that thing out, and they did a real good job.
I do agree. And one of the things that I've been saying real consistently here, look, we may ultimately have found that Doe and company went a bridge too far with the mint mechanism for Terra/UST. But like, guys, I've audited that code because I was fascinated by it when I first set up our relayer. Like, it was very solid. And I also want to back Jack up on the crazy ass battle. And guys, really, like, I've never seen anything like it. I've barely slept in 2 days because I was trying to learn like what was going on. And because the attacker was doing it while Asia was asleep. I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but the major financial action and the major on-chain action happened while Asia was asleep every time.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's clearly been a US-based thing. I think that, you know, if you go back and look at the charts, I'll just pull up the UST chart here. When I noticed it yesterday, like after, God, when was yesterday? Fuck. So yesterday, the recovery team had brought it back up to the mid-90s. Sometime around 2 o'clock yesterday, volume started ticking up. Price spiked back down to around 65. Recovery team brought it back up to the 80s and held it there. I went to bed. It was right around 80. And then it looks like sort of midday Asia time, volume went from averaging around, well, if I look at the hourlies, volume went, well, okay, where are we again? 15-minute chart. Volume went from like 20 million, 10 to 20 million every 15 minutes and spiked to between 60 and 80 million, up to 120 million every 15 minutes. And this is on Binance, where the major battle is happening. Like, that's a market increase in intensity. What the attackers were relying on was follow-on liquidity from the panic that their attack caused. And like, that's what I think we saw yesterday in the Asian markets. Fucking brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Really was. And I think a strong reason for the designers of both blockchains and like the contract systems to that.
Guys,
sit
I got it, Jacob. Thank you for hosting us.
Thank you.
Cosmonauts, we're going to make it. We got this. You know, this is, Cosmos was built in a bear market and we are built for bear markets. Like, this is a technology first play. It's sophisticated. We've still got to mature a little bit of the underlying technology. And like, that's the work that Jacob and I do day to day. And we did it during the bear market. We're doing it during the, we did it during the bull market. We're going to do it during the bear market again. Like, we got this. Don't worry, guys. And, you know, the teams behind these projects are not going anywhere. Like, all my assets are staked too. So I am struggling through the same pain as you guys. Anyway, catch you guys soon. Thank you, everybody.
Bye, Jack. Love you.
So I want to go back to something Jack said and paraphrase it, you know, because I think he made this point that he may have thought he like fully made, but I want to expand on a little bit, which is, he basically said, if this attacker was able to leverage CosmWasm to take down Terra, they would have done it, right? That what one thing we can draw from this is, here is a major sophisticated player pulling out all the stops to take down a chain, and they didn't exploit a CosmWasm vulnerability. And from that, we can conclude that CosmWasm, at least on the sort of raw, is there a zero-day front, probably is safe to put on the hub. And I think he was trying to make that point. I think he did make that point, but maybe, like, you know, maybe it might have gotten lost in some of other stuff. And I just sort of wanted to bring that up because I think it's important that, like, we can look at this at least partially as like a validation that CosmWasm doesn't expand the, it may expand some surfaces, but it doesn't expand the direct attack surface in the way that people are worried about, or we would have seen it exploited. All right. Well, I don't, no one's hand is up.
Hey, Michael, I have a quick question, and maybe you and Jacob could touch on these 2 points, but one of the things that I wanted to know was just, is Terra using a contemporary version of CosmWasm in this instance, or is it an earlier implementation of it? And then secondarily, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to really dive into the exactitudes of this, but what were some of the early attack vectors that were being utilized by this entity? Like, what was, in the simplest terms that can be understood, you know, without too much financial speak, like what was the exact mechanism that was used to start this trend? And what was the vulnerability, at least on the financial side, that was implemented to attack Terra?
That is definitely a question that's more for Jacob than for me. You know, I'm not.
Hey, Kevin, I could give you an idea of what happened.
That's awesome, because I'm not as sharp on the finance. So, Joe, go for it.
Yeah. So you. I think this actually goes back to where they got their Bitcoin for their Bitcoin treasury. Because, like, Doquan is a master at game theory and, like, making the right moves. And he made pretty much all the right moves until, I'd say, about the end. And what he did was he bought $1 billion of Bitcoin with UST, freshly minted UST. And who he bought that from was someone that was borrowing a fuckload of Bitcoin. Like, they didn't, that wasn't their Bitcoin. They were borrowing that Bitcoin on margin. So what they did was they sold $1 billion of Bitcoin to the Luna Foundation. They took that $1 billion of UST and then just held it. And then they started market dumping their Bitcoin to push the price down. And then when they saw their opportunity, when Luna took their money out of the three pool, they took like $350 million out of the Curve three pool. Then like literally out like an hour after, then the attacker started its attack. So it started to make the market all talk about the Curve wars and how UST is starting to get depegged, blah, blah, blah. And then they used that extra firepower from that $1 billion of Bitcoin. I mean, the $1 billion of UST that they got from selling the Bitcoin to just market sell across all of the exchanges when they saw that the peg was weak. And they also had a Bitcoin short on at the same time because they, and they also coordinated Twitter FUD. They did all this. I mean, this was a very sophisticated attack. And so the moral of the story was they fucked up because they sold $1 billion of UST OTC to the wrong fucking person. Like, you literally gave a liability, like UST is a liability to the Luna system, and they gave that to an attacker in massive quantities. Because how else would someone be able to accumulate $1 billion of UST on the open market without moving the price up and people noticing? So like, Doquan kind of fucked himself.
That makes sense. And so then I'll follow this up with maybe a more challenging version of this question, because I know certainly I struggle with this. When you're dealing with sums of money that large, it can be difficult to kind of grok the significance of it. So if you were to kind of create a simple analogy in this scenario, let's say on a personal level, let's say somebody were to go to an entity to take out a loan. Let's say myself, Kevin, I want to receive $100,000 in collateral, and I'm willing to give some of my assets to receive this collateral. Like, what would be the human person equivalent of this?
So, Kevin, I don't think you can do it on a level of like an individual, because it's not going to make sense. But I'll do it on a level like, let's say, Elon Musk getting margin debt on his Tesla shares to buy Twitter. That's great. A way more a realistic thing. So what would happen was, and it also doesn't work quite as well because he's using US dollar, which is way more liquid than UST. So it's not quite the same, but you can imagine a scenario where Elon Musk wants to buy Tesla and he needs a shitload of dollars, but he doesn't want to sell his Tesla stock. So he goes and gets margin debt on his Tesla shares, but then someone in the market, like let's say the person that he made that loan with was BlackRock. And BlackRock is fucking huge. So BlackRock sees this and they say, okay, this is the perfect opportunity for me to wait until Tesla gets weak. And then I'm going to put a massive short position on Tesla and tank it. And then that way, like the margin debt gets called and you can like wipe out Elon Musk. Like that is kind of what we saw happen. Like the Terra ecosystem, those USTs were liabilities for the Luna token. So when their liabilities got mismatched with their assets, they became insolvent. And like, I don't know if that answers your question. It's kind of hard to make an analogy with an individual because totally, they don't.
The scales are so different on it. It that does make more sense. I guess the closest equivalent would be something along the lines of, you know, you're starting a business and, you know, trying to get $100,000 loan, and then the bank goes out, gives you the loan, and suddenly starts shit talking you in the news and doing everything they can to crash the business to get a margin call on the loan and, you know, profit in the markets in the interim. Although that scale doesn't necessarily check out or make sense. That would be the equivalent.
I think one of the main takeaways here is that, like, the only way that they were able to get enough of the UST liabilities to make the attack was the fact that Do Kwon sold them he bought $1 billion of Bitcoin with the UST from them. And the fact was that Bitcoin, well, I guess I don't know, I can't say the fact, but I think what happened was that Bitcoin was it was borrowed as well. That wasn't that person's Bitcoin. They just knew that there was this vulnerability, and I think they made their real money in shorting Bitcoin, honestly. Like, I think that's where they actually made probably a couple billion dollars. They probably like did some risk neutralizing things on the Luna side, and they just used the liquidity of Bitcoin to make real money, if I had to guess.
Hey, Joe, I really appreciate the depth that you were able to give to the financial side of things. It's what I knew, you know, lines up very, very closely with what you're saying. But I think you've done a way better in-depth job of describing what happened on the finance angle. And actually, if there's any more detail that you're able to give on that, I think that it's useful information for the community.
Can I say something?
Please do.
Yeah, so like whenever UST is backed by something volatile, and when that volatile asset gets dumped, there's going to be systemic risk, you know? And that's like, Luna's supposed to be anti-fragile, and, you know, and people were testing it, and this time it failed, and people got to realize, like, everyone wants to find like a reason for this. I'm coming from a trader, and like things like this happen in the crypto market, right? I've been here since like 2017, and I got wrecked in 2017. And I'm like, you guys got to be careful with these new projects. But in the sense that we're still early in this like stage. Luna was founded like this year or like early last year. And, you know, there's so much more, like, Do Kwon built a huge community, and that's something, like, everyone, like, this community is not going to die, right? And as long as everyone just keep their head up, learn from their lessons, and keep building, everyone will be better off. It's like, this bad thing happened, but a lot of lessons were learned, and you should take that. That as a good thing.
I tend to strongly agree. And you know, to other, like, you know, individual investors in the audience, I would just say that one way to evaluate risk in cryptocurrencies is to look at the level of complexity. And Terra's financial offering did have some baked in complexity, and I just want to say that Baby Boss has offered excellent advice on like how to limit your risks as an individual investor.
I mean, I think there's two main points. So there's massive reflexivity that was built into the Luna or Terra ecosystem, and anybody that really studied it knew that. So, like the way I framed it was the only way that it worked was Luna was pure volatility and UST was quote unquote pure stability and when it was functioning correctly. But since Luna's pure volatility, when that volatility in the whole market spikes, and especially within this situation when there's an attack, then like the reflexivity built into the system just magnifies the volatility. So, I mean, we all knew that Luna was not black swan proof. And then the other thing I want to add is that, like, the idea of stability is actually not real in the universe. Like, the only way you can get stability is in a man's head. And that's when, like, someone uses fiat or by decree says something is stable. And that's why one USD will always equal one USD, quote unquote. But if someone has enough energy, enough monetary energy, they can destabilize anything. And I mean anything. So it doesn't matter. Like, if Luna could have been rock solid, and I think it was, like, damn close to rock solid. But if someone with enough monetary energy comes in and drops a bomb, you're done. And it just is what it is.
Yeah, and when there's so much leverage in the system, the markets will, like, humble everyone. It's just the way it is. It doesn't matter if it's not just Luna, like any coin you trade. When there's leverage in the system, and
yeah,
like when you're offering like 20% APY on Anchor, that's like people are taking leverage on that, you know, and that like people get hurt when people get too greedy.
Yeah, and there was people that were looping it and getting double, triple leverage, like, not good. But yeah, so, I think it just goes back to, I think the Cosmos will be fine. Like, this is just a bump in the road. We'll all remember this. Like, the rest of the Cosmos ecosystem does not have consensus level vulnerabilities tied to Terra. It seems like Terra, like, I don't know if they're going to survive this or what, but, like, the lunatics are welcome into the Cosmos. And I'm really feeling for you guys. I'm sorry that some fucking billionaire, a couple billionaires just wrecked you guys and wrecked us all, kind of. But yeah.
Yep. Thank you, Joe. And please come on, Scott. But I want to mirror Joe's point there. And Scott, jump on in.
Guys, just a quick question. What is that hedge fund's name again that people are speculating
Citadel. Sort of
behind
Citadel.
The Citadel? Thank you.
Ken Griffin is the kingpin behind
Thank
Citadel.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to ask sort of like a practical question for those of us. And, you know, I got burned on this to a much more significant extent than sort of reflects my desire to be. You know, I wasn't really looking to be in the Luna ecosystem, but, you know, I had like bought some UST on Osmosis because I sort of wanted some more stability, right? Which, like, now I feel stupid about that decision. But I guess I would ask, like, you know, as a community, right, what do we do about wanting, I know that, like, nothing is stable, you know, but, you know, but fiat currencies, especially like euro and US dollar, are more stable, right? Relatively speaking, as compared to the price of a loaf of bread than UST has turned out to be. And what do we do for people who, you know, for us as cosmonauts and Osmosis as sort of right now our leading platform for trading? What do we do for a stable coin, right? Like, what is, are we going to, you know, no one seems to think that we're going to like bring, we're, no one in this chat seems to think, okay, well, Terra's going to repeg and we're going to start using UST again. You know, there's not a lot of liquidity on the Euro token. There's basically no liquidity on the USDC token that got onto Osmosis in the last week. So like, what's our plan as an ecosystem for, you know, cause Osmosis is not a centralized exchange. It's never going to have a bank account. What's our plan for giving people, ways to exit to national currencies without sort of like sending tokens to a centralized exchange to sell for bank deposit?
I'd say we just need options, like multiple different options within the ecosystem. And then you need bond markets and risk markets to like weight the risk of each one. And then like, there are, you can make something that seems stable, like an over collateralized stable coin. Like, in theory, that coin is stable, but you could think of this situation, like, even if the Terra Luna ecosystem was over collateralized by Luna, you could still have a cascade effect where it like knocks out the entire ecosystem. Like that doesn't solve the problem. Like even like Maker DAI almost blew up in March 2020 and needed a massive infusion of capital from the major stakeholders for that to not unwind to zero. So at the end of the day, you just need options and risk markets to price the insolvency risk of each one like live. And I think that's all you can do, honestly.
I would assume too that like the ultimate stablecoin is just whatever socially accepted and whatever you can buy things with, and you know, it's the bottom bitch. It's what you want to have, and which is why you know, whoever did this whole attack thing probably exited out to good old regular USD. I think that's the ultimate, right?
Yeah, I say, in my opinion, I view the dollar as like fire insurance, and everyone wants it when the house is on fire, but no one wants it when the house isn't on fire. So, and then the going back to your point, like what is like the real stablecoin? It's whatever your local monopoly on violence tells you the currency is. And it's only stable because they tell you that $1 equals $1 and it's backed up by the full faith and credit of the United States government. So like, really, it's just whatever your local monopoly on violence tells you that you need to pay your tribute to, that is going to be the currency. And crypto is not going to fix that, unfortunately. Hate to be a boner kill, but.
Jacob, I wanted to just follow up on some questions for you, because you've been watching on the node scene with Terra. On the transaction front, I mean, I know there was some talk this morning about changing Terra parameters in a proposal, and you obviously, you've been campaigning for a long time prior to any of this to do away with some of these white label validator nodes, and, you know, I think most people here know your viewpoints on Coinbase Cloud, but can you speak to some of the infrastructure, I don't know, Jack had mentioned as well, I mean, the chain is held up, and that's an amazing thing. But in looking towards the future, with whatever comes out of this, what are the weaknesses on the infrastructure side that we were experiencing during this attack? And where is there room for improvement on that front, on the validator front for Terra?
Awesome question. All right, I'm going to go through two. I think that there are two main components of that, okay? One of them, and guys, like, again, I've been saying throughout this call that I think that the Apoc time on Osmosis, the blessing in disguise, that Apoc block processing time, it triggered a lot of work on performance. And I think that what we're seeing is that performance issues here, they map to network economic security issues. And so, like, you know, you're going to want to, basically, like, what validators can do is kind of buy computers. Like, very, very, you know, I can hear how emphatic that is. Buy your validation equipment. In fact, allow me to give a specific configuration that I am perfectly aware validates every single chain in Cosmos in a high performance manner. Okay? You get an Intel i5, it's not an expensive CPU, 12600K. You get 64 gigabytes of RAM. You get a Samsung 980 Pro SSD. You put those things together in a micro ATX motherboard. Why micro ATX? I just like it because it's small, actually. And that is a complete recipe for a very highly performing validator. Now, you may be wondering, Jacob, how do you know that performs really well? Well, guys, that is what we've run. And time and again, we have seen that outperform cloud-based validators. When we saw it consistently outperform cloud-based validators on Osmosis, we also looked into why the hell is this happening? Ah, well, we did find an answer too. The answer is basically that, you know, NVMe drives, they connect directly to the CPU. The bandwidth between those hard drives and the CPU is insane. So something that can be done, and look, earlier in the call, I was advocating, no, we got to chase out Binance. We got to chase out Coinbase Cloud. They do have one other option than getting chased out. It's like they need to buy relatively inexpensive equipment and stop using storage abstractions. Most cloud systems deliver your storage over the network. The network is exponentially slower than you know, having your hard drive. And I really mean exponentially, vastly slower. And like these systems, well, just, you know, that computer, exact recipe, one more time. Intel, 12,600K CPU, 64 gigabytes of commodity RAM. Don't buy the expensive ECC RAM. You don't need it. You don't need a server CPU. Those things work great, okay? And then get a Samsung 980 Pro. Usually we use the 2 terabyte size SSD. Okay, that if you live in the United States, here it costs us about $1,200 to build one of those. In the US, it is less than $1,000. If a validator company can't afford that, if even Coinbase Cloud guys, that is a team that provides validators to nearly every chain in Cosmos. If they can't be bothered to do that, we toss them out. Governance-based slashing, basically. So those are kind of the elements that can be done to shore up the infrastructure in the short term. When we started to promote the use of these disks on Osmosis, there was some resistance to this idea from validators. Basically, they were saying, it's a software problem. And guys, it is a software problem. And guys, we're working on it at multiple places in the Cosmos Tendermint stack. It used to be possible to run these nodes on Raspberry Pis. We need to get there again. But the short-term solution is a relatively cheap computer. So, like, do it or get out. That's my opinion.
And just a follow up on that. Thank you, Jacob. That's great. And we're actually planning to build out a node with that exact spec and do a whole video on that to hopefully help other newer validators in a similar boat to us in building their own bare metal. I know a lot of validators, ourselves included right now, run bare metal servers and dedicated servers out of colo setups and or just dedicated servers in general out of
Hello. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That was my bad. I tried to let somebody in and I clicked the mute button.
Okay. Sorry.
Damn it, Tony. It's all good. A lot of validators utilize data centers and they have dedicated hardware and servers within those locations. What is your, obviously that's better than a cloud-based solution by far.
It's way better. And I want to tell the audience, I mean, Notional still has tons of infrastructure at Hetzner in Germany. And I'm very happy to like endorse them. In fact, the only problem with Hetzner is that they're so overwhelmingly good at what they do that they don't really have a competitor. And I am concerned that because of my consistent endorsement to their services, that Cosmos is sort of like building out in Hetzner. So that's the worry for me. But like, Kevin, you're totally right. There's nothing wrong with being in a data center. Notional actively engages with several data centers. And, you know, maybe the big performance question is just like, in that data center on your machine, is your storage connected directly to the CPU using NVMe, non-volatile memory something, whatever the hell that is?
Good. Well, great questions. And you know, Jacob, later I'll chat with you about creating those videos. I wanted to talk to you, but there's other priorities at play today. But thank you for answering that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can we talk about the possible governance proposals to slash centralized exchange validators and like what you think that should look like or would look like in theory?
Absolutely, Cody. If it's cool with you, though, I'd like to grab Marceline's question because they have been, they're an interesting new entrant to my Twitter feed. So, Marceline, please hop on it.
Hey, guys. Marceline's kind of curious if this whole UST, not the lunar thing, but the whole UST, although they're one and one tied together, thing is bigger than Luna itself and is more detrimental to Cosmos, the entire ecosystem, as the stable coin that would have been transferred across via IBC and interchain stuff, you know, security queries, things of that nature. I wonder if maybe this is bigger than Luna itself, or Marceline wonders if it's bigger than Luna itself, or is it just something that can be isolated to that zone?
It was not isolated. And that's a really good question. So, you know, in my opinion, and Marceline, I want to tell you, I personally helped this to happen. Okay. How did I personally help it to happen? Guys, I made the channel that connects Terra to Osmosis, and I had so much fun doing it. I should say to other engineers in the audience that if you begin to work on Cosmos chains, you'll get to like play with these billion-dollar enormous things, and working on the IBC level of the stack has just been tremendously satisfying to me on a personal level. Just yesterday, decided that I would be stepping down from the Osmosis Ministry of Marketing. And the reason for that is that basically like the IBC work is just sort of taking precedence. So Marceline, back to your original question though, like what's the effect of UST on Cosmos? Well, because of how, you know, the pools on Osmosis worked, well, sir, that channel that I made, it allowed Luna to export UST into Osmosis. And honestly, you know, until just days ago, maybe a week ago, Marceline, I kind of felt that UST was going to be in like the overwhelmingly most popular stablecoin in Cosmos. And you know what? Until days ago, I was right. And so like definitely the UST thing. Look, here's when I know there was a problem. A friend DM'd me and they said, dude, like UST just flipped Terra. And I'm like, oh shit. Because UST flipped Luna, you know. UST was backed by Luna. And so for UST to flip Luna, what that basically meant, well, we were screwed. And I hope I answered your question, but if you have any follow-ons, like, please, you know, do ask.
Marceline's curious is if, like, UST, as big as it was, making its way across multiple zones, and possibly more zones in the future, is this bigger than just like Luna, though, this I know this Marceline thinks that this may affect the Cosmo ecosystem way more than just Luna, you know, rugging or however, whatever term people may want to use. Is like Ethereum has Tether, and it surely does, and it will continue to have Tether for as long as Ethereum wants to exist. If Cosmos wants to continue to expand and be the next thing, or whatever term we will use to show its exponential growth in this ecosystem of blockchains and that stuff, where are we going to get that stable asset that allows us, and that we know we will never have to worry about, is what Marceline is curious about. Because if we want Cosmos to be seen legitimately by hedge funds and all these other places, where are we going to get an asset that can be decentralized, or even if it's not decentralized, something that is stable, like, say, Ethereum has?
That's awesome, Marceline. Actually, I think that at least part of the answer to that question, Marceline, is like, when I say we, I guess I mean the engineers in Cosmos, we already kind of view Ethereum as part of Cosmos. And so, like, to one of the answers to your question in a very definite sense is that, like, USDC is already on Osmosis, and, you know, stables from Ethereum will definitely flow into Cosmos. And and I'm getting a report from our infrastructure team. I'm so sorry for stopping mid-sentence there. That are the issues with Secret caused us to be late to the upgrade on Evmos. And I believe that I should now go and make a tweet about that. And, you know, if you guys are ever interested in, you know, so what's the validator life? Well, this is the validator life, right? Like, it's actually very, very hard. So I'm gonna mute myself. We have this like great collection of people here. I'd really love it if you guys, you know, continue to discuss, and I'll be back in a minute. I should communicate to the Evmos community real quick what occurred, and then I'll return.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jacob.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Bad People Did Bad Things to Terra, We Move Forward. Hosted by Jacob Gedakian, recorded on Wednesday, May 11th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sipping on a little bit of sin I've been giving, try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits, going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics, stretching out the distance. For instance, let me be specific, the risk is hedge funding the business, betting on the difference, ingesting all the research, sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first, sleep tight little dreamer, early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor, taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now, I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension. Something to endear myself a little bit. Something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. And it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling abominable with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground sore. And I'll be coming. coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little has to do with what everything is. But it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.